Happy New Year and welcome to the Jeremiah Patterson Show. We have big things planned for 2024. Thank you for joining me on this TJPS special report. Tonight we are going to air something that has been in the works for about 2 weeks. It is a special two-night affair. It's unlike anything that we've ever done before, although it is one of the most important pieces of work that this show will have produced over its nearly 6 years. Right now, you are listening to me on the podcast. And with that said, you should also know that we have also adapted this report into a special film that will be on YouTube at 4 o'clock p.m. today. It'll go live at that time. It took a really long time to edit this. And, you know, this episode was very, very much hard to do in the making in terms of the editing and the research and the scripting and just getting everything together. But YouTube will air the special report sort of as in like the visual adaptation that will go on YouTube. And the YouTube one has things that this audio version does not. And although it is shorter, it does showcase more intently what we will be focusing on tonight, and it gets that vital message across. So I'm going to explain just a little bit about what's going to be happening over these next 2 days. So today is the debut of the special report. Tomorrow is a special interview with my friend Gavin Thompson, who is an activist that is very knowledgeable on this topic and as in many others. And now it's critical that you watch both, because in order to understand the interview, you have to see the report first. Also, you could start by listening on either platform, YouTube or the podcast, but the podcast has the full version. YouTube just has the visual adaptation, which will redirect you back to the show for the full episode. I'm very excited about this, as well as nervous, but this is something that really no one is talking about that needs more attention in terms of nationwide with our politics, as this is the year of the 2024 presidential election, just 11 months away. It is worth mentioning a couple of things before we head into this. One, in the report, I mentioned the Second Amendment twice. I actually meant to say that unitary executive theory is actually a misinterpretation of Article 2 of the Constitution. So see, it's already confusing. But before we get into this, it is also worth saying, noting, that you're going to miss the person you were before you listened to this. You're going to miss that bubbly, upbeat, nice person that you were before listening to this, because after, you'll be horrified and on the floor. Not an exaggeration, because after doing the research and everything for Project 2025 to conjure up this two-week-long, you know, investigative report to put together, it was a lot. And what you will hear will be a lot. It will be absurd, some of the things that you hear, most of the things you will hear, but it is worth getting out there, because this is something that not many people are talking about in the country in the year of one of the most important elections of our lifetime. I also say that the report is 920 pages, but apparently that's just one of the starter packets. The report is actually 9,000 pages, which of course is not reading or giving any money to the Heritage Foundation, which authored it. But yes, you should know those things before heading into this, because this is a very convoluted but also very much essential episode that I do my best in explaining, which is why you should also really, really listen to tomorrow's interview, because, you know, Gavin explains it better than I can. Without further ado, I present to you a special report from the Jeremiah Patterson Show, Project 2025, the Conservative Plan to Destroy America. On January 20th, 1981, on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, former actor and governor of California, Ronald Reagan, delivered his inauguration speech as President of the United States. He had won the election in a landslide, completely shellacking his opponent, incumbent Jimmy Carter. Yeah, it was a pretty big win. And in this speech, Reagan said before thousands of people these words.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. It is time to reawaken this industrial giant, to get government back within its means, and to lighten our punitive tax burden. And these will be our first priorities, and on these principles there will be no compromise.
A fiery startup to the new presidency, but he was clear on where he stood. Government is the problem. There will be no compromise. No more big government, too invasive. For decades, the conservative machine has run on that theory by Reagan, wanting to reduce the size of government and retain privacy. But in fact, it was a lie. Because behind closed curtains, they were expanding the role in the executive branch for Reagan under his term, under the euphemism of unitary executive. Huh? What does that mean? Exactly. By using a bigger, lesser-known phrase to everyday people, it'd be easier to consolidate power that way. But they don't tell you that, or at least they never will. In fact, they act flabbergasted when you ask them about it, or just sinisterly laugh it off behind closed doors.
You're telling me you don't know
what the unitary theory means.
I don't know what you mean by it, no, Mr.
You don't know what I mean
or
by
anyone
it.
Anyone else?
Do you know what you mean by it?
I know exactly what I mean by it. And
well, what do you mean?
Sentences.
Tell me.
That vests the president with absolute executive authority. And I mean absolute.
I'm Jeremiah Patterson, Happy New Year, and this is The Jeremiah Patterson Show. On today's special report, we'll be talking about Project 2025, the conservative undoing of America's Republic. Shortly after Reagan won the 1980 election, a relatively new conservative think tank group approaches him and gives him 3,000 pages. And what lied in those pages was a 20-volume package on how to swing the government as far as right as possible and how to implement the plan expeditiously. They really were not afraid to tell the new president-elect he wasn't conservative enough. So they presented him with a report, a 3,000-page manifesto on how to consolidate power and instill conservatism in at least every part of the U.S. government. And for a second, you might think, that's sinister. Reagan wouldn't go for that, would he? Possibly. He's one of the good guys, right? No. And Reagan didn't just go for it, he went all in, handing the report to every single person possible and even employing some of the authors of the report at the White House and in the Reagan administration. And when these guys approached Reagan, they were reportedly clear on what they wanted. Abolish the Department of Energy, revoke all executive orders requiring affirmative action for minorities and government or contracting, strip civil agencies of their powers to, quote, make an example of them, strip the EPA of its federal control, reduce the National Security Agency to basically nothing, essentially mean clear house, boost the defense budget, develop a new strategic bomb, increase military spending, crack down on domestic radicals, and downgrade OSHA, which makes sure that you are safe at work in terms of safety guidelines. Apparently, Reagan's transition team director, Edward Meese, was so anxious to get his hands on this freshly new hot doc, and after reading it, he referred to the Heritage Foundation as, quote, a pretty good group of people, end quote. So you can see where this is going. The Washington Post called the report a chest hope of the mainstream right wing. A year later, Reagan is president, and the Heritage Foundation comes to check up on him and gives the guy a grade of a D. He was scoring about 60% with them. Reagan had implemented 60% of more than 2,000 proposals offered to him by the Heritage Foundation, who authored this report. It's still really horrifically frightening, but they said that he was moving in the right direction, but he just needed to do more. That sentiment definitely got noticed by the New York Times with this headline, Heritage Foundation Disappointed by Reagan. Later on, having initiated more of the group's work, Reagan cited them as playing a central role in his success for his term and second term. But that report from 1980, published by the Heritage Foundation, has clear and direct ties to something bigger today, known as Project 2025. You see, the name of the report first published back in 81 is Mandate for Leadership. If you look closely at Project 2025, you'll find the same thing. Mandate for Leadership, the conservative promise. By that logic, they're basically trying to finish what they started under Reagan, except this is on steroids. It's draconian, absolutely nuts, scary as hell. It's worse. But they seriously plan to do this if a Republican is elected to the White House next year. And in order to understand this, we first must break down the key components into four different parts. Firstly, the report begins by blatantly saying winning elections is not enough. We must rescue the country from, quote, the grip of the radical left. And they plan on doing that by instituting this new agenda on day one of the next conservative administration. They plan to, quote, unite the conservative movement and the American people against elite rule and woke culture warriors, end quote. Whatever that means. And importantly, they note that there are high stakes here, quote, if we fail, the fight for the very idea of America may be lost. Wow. Let's dive in. So in this 920-page conservative manifesto written by former Trump administration officials and conservatives are incredulously wild assertions and policy stances that would give the Founding Fathers a heart attack. Let's begin with part one, policy and supporting positions, which plays heavily into the unitary executive theory that was conjured up under the Reagan administration to give him more power for deregulatory efforts. Every president since has exercised more power, but the real concern is absolute power and declaring the other branches submissive to the executive branch. Where unitary executive theory comes from is basically the misinterpretation of the Second Amendment, a conservative play, as they like to do with multiple other things, including the Second Amendment. Anyways, that's where you have to hit pause, because no branch out of all of the three can be more powerful than the other. They all must be equal to keep each other in check and prevent corruption and tyranny from prospering. Yet, no one listens. What conservatives are recommending is gaining absolute power in all federal agencies and dismantling the administrative state. So agencies like FEMA, DHS, the FDA, which makes sure your food is good, the EPA, which makes sure you have clean water, and others. You know, why would we want that? It's not necessarily constitutional anyway. A potential second 9/11 because DHS is gone, therefore bye-bye TSA, is also on the playing field, presumably because this overhaul of essential federal agencies must happen because the Constitution does not warrant them, therefore they must go. So this is what they're selling here. They further hope to expand presidential power, essentially making the presidency so powerful that he's unaccountable to the legislative branch for potential investigations or impeachment. And that they're impervious to the judicial branch for rulings against their agenda. It would effectively ensure that the president has unchecked power, creating a dictatorship in the U.S. Because under this theory and plan of theirs, they also want to dismantle the FBI and basically hand DOJ over to the president as a proverbial prosecutorial firing squad for his political enemies, and room for anyone he wants to throw in jail on some draconian drummed-up charges. By invoking the Insurrection Act on day one, as listed in their plan, this would essentially favor law enforcement and the military being used against civilians and arresting anyone the president seeks to be imprisoned. A complete violation of the Constitution, but who cares? It's just a harmless plan for the next conservative administration. What could possibly go wrong? Absolutely everything. And they put that into fine writing, too. The president would essentially be above the law, a government overhaul would be immediate, and federal agencies deemed non-essential or useless to their cause would be eradicated. If that were to happen, which is a serious political possibility ahead of this year's presidential election, it's going to be hell on earth. And that's not even the worst of it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Even before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the 50-year precedent, Roe v. Wade, which the court first upheld in 1973 that guaranteed women the right to an abortion, there were major signs of rumbling and test in multiple conservative states. From abortion clinics being shuttered by states to six-week bans and legislators becoming creepily more invasive into what was said in women's doctor's appointments, it was no surprise when the Supreme Court finally overturned Roe v. Wade completely in the summer of 2022. Evoking national outrage and mass protest. What Project 2025 guarantees is not just getting rid of abortion, but banning it nationally. If a Republican wins the 2024 presidential election, they will seek to make abortion illegal nationwide. That means no exception whatsoever for rape or incest. You'll be forced to bear the child of your rapist. So abortion would be illegal, and get this, women would have to report their pregnancies to the government. Let me just say that again. Women would have to report their pregnancies to the government. We would be effectively living in a dystopian place. It would no longer be recognizable as the United States of America. It would be completely eccentric and different. Presumably your menstrual cycles would also be tracked as well. And if they already gutted Roe, why not, keep going? Let's go after Loving, too, the Supreme Court ruling that makes interracial marriage legal. But hey, why stop there? We can just keep going after that as well, you know? Let's get rid of Brown versus Board of Education, bring back segregation in schools. These terrifying plans are not just a 920-page document floating on the internet. This is actually their plan to actually enforce and to do in the new conservative America that will be of 2025 when they believe that their righteously elected Republican candidate will have taken the White House and will implement this in the first 180 days. That is their plan. That's where they're headed. Yes, it's terrifying, but there is more. Buckle up. It's going to be a crazy show. Over the years, conservatives have used euphemisms to hide their nefarious practices and blatant racism. Whether it's states' rights for discrimination or traditional values for a homophobic backdrop, they never really say the quiet part out loud. That was until Trump. What? Did you really think we were going to play that on air? Absolutely not. He's already had enough airtime. We're not making the same mistake as 2016. Anyways, Trump saying what he meant was obviously going to be a game changer for the Republican Party. It radicalized the base in a way that no other candidate had been able to before. The true side of conservatism was coming out, and from every corner, the neo-Nazis had a room, along with the white supremacists and violent enthusiasts, band together to declare their undying love for Trump. This openly racist and xenophobic rhetoric, along with his extreme ideas, drove him to the White House because it was so popular enough and gave them essentially a safe space. The party capitulated and the worst of them was brought front and center. The Republican Party capitulated. And it is with that capitulation that opened up the door for one of the worst people ever to join their ranks, take over the party, and allow rampant racism, authoritarianism, and fascism to flourish unchecked in the Republican Party, even by the highest members who once stood against it. And it is with that that Project 2025 takes on a horrifying lens for the entire country that you must see. That's next. For 2025, Republicans have the absolute worst plans for America. Yeah, so much for a happy new year, because on January 20th, 2025, if a Republican has won the presidential election from November of 2024, it's going to be pretty ominous, because their plans include escalating tensions with China, as if that's a good idea, stepping away from globalism so the United States would basically be alone, isolated from the global community, and would no longer be a big leader at the table in key foreign summits. Labor policies against discrimination would be gone, so basically you could be discriminated against at work by unions, and not by unions, but by essentially your bosses. Funding for clean energy would be killed, increasing the use of fossil fuels, and let me pause there because things are about to get pretty wild. Firstly, their crackdown on immigration is a major component. Quote, illegal immigration should be ended, not mitigated, the border sealed, not reprioritized. Yeah, so no more immigrants coming into the United States. Why not just close the border completely? No more asylum seekers. By the way, we're doing away with DHS, so we no longer need an immigration system. Purify the country, right? And in many parts of the country, draconian immigration policies are already being put in place. Like right here in Texas, where if you even look like an immigrant, you could be deported instantly. Thank you, Governor Greg Abbott, for allowing open discrimination, which is completely against the law and unconstitutional, but you're in high office, so hey, you know, I guess you have absolute power as well. Absolutely astounding. If you even look like an immigrant, deportation. Or you're essentially forced to prove that you are actually a citizen of this country. Open discrimination in 2023. We are still dealing with the battles that our ancestors had to deal with. But hey, this is the United States of America, the greatest country on earth, right? I mean, it's astonishing, but not necessarily. This is their blatant path to continue their war on immigration because, you know, we have an invasion of the Mexicans, right? That's imminent. They also circle back to getting rid of TikTok. Yeah, you know, the Communist China app on your phone. That's perfectly normal, but somehow spews propaganda and is indoctrinating our children. Yeah, that one. They're calling for it to be outlawed. As if we don't have more pressing issues like, I don't know, a 5-year-old getting shot in her classroom? But this is their plan. Instead of stopping school shootings and mass shootings in general with a perfectly logical solution that's been present for decades, we're just gonna ban the app that kids dance on and collectively post fun and engaging content on. Yeah, that's our real issue. China. But just beyond that, Project 2025 gives you more to lose sleep over at night. Under a new conservative administration, LGBTQ expressions would be criminalized. This basically means any talk about gender and also eradicating same-sex marriage. Quote, the next conservative president must make the institutions of American civil society hard targets for woke culture warriors. This starts with deleting terms sexual orientation and gender identity, diversity, equity, and inclusion. End quote. If you think that's preposterous enough, there's more, because they go on to tell you about how pornography is basically any talk about gender, therefore it should be outlawed. Brace yourself for this reading here. Quote, pornography manifested today is the omnipresent propagation of transgender ideology and sexualization of children. It has no claim to First Amendment protection. Its purveyors are child predators and misogynistic exploiters of women. Their product is as addictive as an illicit drug and psychologically destructive as any crime. Pornography should be outlawed. The people who produce and distribute it should be imprisoned. Educators and public librarians who purview it should be classified as registered sex offenders, and telecommunications and technology firms that facilitate its spread should be shuttered. End quote. So, yeah. First of all, let's digest that for a second. Because this just goes way beyond just in terms of the contours of the definition of pornography. They're basically expanding that and saying no talk of sex, no talk of gender. Also, while we're at it, let's just throw in prison educators and public librarians as, you know, and classify them as registered sex offenders as well within the population. You may be familiar with CRT, basically critical race theory. This theory that is basically taught at the college level, you know, about race. It is actually a theory from the 1970s by a now prominent African-American scholar. And basically what the theory actually is about, according to the New York Times, critical race theory is actually the acknowledgement of the stark racial disparities that have persisted in the United States despite decades of civil rights reforms, and they raise structural questions about how racist hierarchies are enforced even among people with good intentions. So basically, critical race theory is the study of race and where we stand currently and how it is systemic within our racism is systemic within our systems. That's what critical race theory is about. It's not about culture wars. It's not about there being sex in books and how, oh my gosh, we should be banning books in schools for the slightest things. It's not about banning math books in Florida because, oh, I don't know, maybe there's, you know, some mention of race in math books. We ought to look into that. That is not what critical race theory is about. Conservatives have completely flipped that definition over and over again over the past years. When, you know, the talk about race, the debate about race, launched again in 2020 after the murder of George Floyd. So we start from there, and then it just gets inherently and diametrically haywire from there, because they say that we need to, quote, maintain a biblically based social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. I know it's a mouthful, but once you actually realize what they're saying, it's another WTF moment. As if their agenda wasn't direct enough, what they are implying here is that the United States will be a Christian nationalist regime by 2025, or if you want to put it in more stark terms, a Christian nationalist dictatorship. So basically a theocratic dictatorship under one person where the executive branch has immense power because, oh yeah, unitary executive theory. In terms of the Christian nationalism front thing, it goes on to talk about, quote, today the left is threatening the tax-exempt status of churches and charities that reject woke progressivism. They will soon turn to Christian schools and public clubs with the same totalitarian intent. The next conservative president must make the institutions of American civil society hard targets for woke culture warriors. End quote. They also go on to talk about how in 2020, when COVID was happening, that churches shutting down? Are you serious? How unholy. Quote, for example, how much risk mitigation is worth the price of shutting down churches on the holiest day of the Christian calendar and far beyond, as in 2020? What is the proper balance of lives saved versus souls saved? End quote. So basically what they are implying here is that the federal government should be more interested and more willing and more, I guess, obliged into saving souls than saving lives. A Christian nationalist agenda. Yes, they are going that far. It also goes on to talk about how the Sabbath day should be received. Quote, God ordained the Sabbath day as a day of rest, and until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. End quote. So basically, they talk about how there should be a federal acknowledgement of the Sabbath day. So basically, you would be off on the Sabbath day, or you could go to work, but you would get paid more if you're working on that day. Which sounds nice in theory, but together cohesively as a project, which is Project 2025, this is scary as hell. Because it's not just conservatives forcing their religion on the entire whole of the United States of America, but it is them creating this new path for the country based off a mythologized past, which does not exist. I was watching this YouTuber, Second Thought, in terms of getting the research together, and he said something very, very powerful. He said that you can get away with pretty horrific acts when you have a divine power on your side. And in this case, what conservatives are doing, they are not going by the God of Christianity, but they are going by this mythologized past, this made-up theological figure, to get away with what they are doing. A Christian nationalist agenda is not really Christian. This is a theocratic takeover of the United States government, where they are instituting their policies and their draconian efforts with all in the name of God, because he's on their side and they are doing right by him. Therefore, they are excused for their atrocities. And that is a new danger, a new level threat that we are having to contend with in a way that we have never had to contend with before as a country. But it's something that's getting worse. And it's something that's getting worse in all of the hierarchies, in all of the top spots in this country. To whereas the Christian nationalist agenda, which became prominent under Reagan, has grown and it has grown and it has grown. And it is definitely growing into overload in a way that will overtake our country and will become the new national status quo. More on that when we come back.
Introducing Tide Power Pods
with Kat and Nat. I love how much I can stuff into these machines, but that is such a large load. Don't the stains sneak through?
Please. New Tide Power Pods can clean that whole situation.
You just toss it in before the close.
It's like two regular Tide Pods and then some power and then even more power.
With 50% more cleaning power, even your large load got clean.
How many kids do you have?
Girl, I lost track. There's a lot of kids. And then there's a husband. Then there's me.
That's a lot of clothes.
Okay, so how far do you think is too far? How about a pastor threatening violence or even greater insurrection than the one that transpired on this day 2 years ago? Yeah, this is the danger of Christian nationalism becoming a major thing and also mainstream. This is also why church and politics are separate. But here it is, and this what will be of America if a Republican is elected in 2024.
Let every adversary against democracy, against freedom, against life, against liberty, against justice, against peace, against righteousness be overturned right now in the name of Jesus. Let justice be done. Let justice be done. Let justice be done. Let we the people have the assurance of a fair and a just election. I thank you for President Trump. I put a hedge of protection around him. I secure his purpose. I secure his destiny. I secure his life, God. And I thank you that he will walk in a holy boldness and a wisdom, God, and that you will go before him. You will be his rear guard, and you will go in front of him this day and every day, God.
I'm to the place right now, if you vote Democrat, I don't even want you around this church. You can get out. You can get out, you demon. You can get out, you baby butchering election thief. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. I don't care how mad that makes you. You get pissed off as you want to. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat in this nation. They are God-denying demons that butcher babies and hate this nation. Bunch of devils. I'm sick of it. Hey, want to talk about the insurrection? Let me tell you something. You ain't seen the insurrection yet. You keep on pushing our buttons, you low-down, sorry compromisers. You God-hating communist America. You'll find out what an insurrection is, because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't playing your mess. My Bible says that the church of the living God is an institution that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Bible says that we'll take it by force. That's what the Bible says.
This is Christian nationalism, a major central point of Project 2025. The conservative plan to take over the country for real this time. They tried it on January 6th. That was their trial run for how far they could get with this. Do you seriously think, after hearing those two clips, especially the second one there, do you seriously think that if they already got a taste of what they can do, that they will not try again? I mean, literally, they are already talking about this, and they are still tooting that horn. For example, this is conservative commentator and self-proclaimed neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes. And for all that you're about to hear, yes, it is insane. It is absolutely horrifying, but he does have a large base that actually believes this stuff and believes that it should actually be put in place.
But that's why we need dictatorship. That's unironically why we need to get rid of all that. We need to take control of the media or take control of the government and force the people to believe what we believe. Here's the pathway. We have one more election where white people can make the decision. The white people got to make the right decision, and then Trump's got to get in there and never leave. That, to me, at this point, is a pathway. It's time to shut up, elect Trump one more time, and then stop having elections. We have got to talk about the fundamentals of our worldview and what it would look like to build a society based on our distinct worldview. It looks like a society where women don't have the right to vote. And it looks like a society where boys and girls get married as teenagers and start having kids, and they don't use birth control, and they don't use contraceptives, and they have big families and a high birth rate. And it looks like women wearing veils at church. And it looks like women not being in the workforce. Banning gay marriage is back on the menu. Banning sodomy is back on the menu. Banning contraceptives is back on the menu. And basically, we're having something like Taliban rule in America, in a good way. We're having something like a Catholic Taliban rule in America.
Who cares? You know, enough with the Jim Crow stuff. Who cares? Oh, they had to drink out of a different water fountain. Big deal. Oh no, they had to go to a different school. Their water fountain in that famous picture was worse. Who cares? Grow up. Drink out of the water fountain. It's water. It's the same. You know? And, you know, even if it was bad, who cares? Who cares? It's better. It's better in general. We all agree.
Once again, that was Jack Fuentes, a famous conservative commentator. The stuff that he said in those clips, the stuff that he is advocating for, that, you know, we should elect Trump, have that be the last election, and then stop having elections. Get Trump in there one more time, and no more presidents. No more elections. this is the last election where white people can save America. You know, why not go back to, you know, two water fountains, one for whites, one for blacks? Why not, you know, take away women's rights to vote and most of their rights writ large? Why not let young children, adults, go back to having mass families and being forced to marry people that they don't even know or like or are creepy? Why not go back to that? Because that is the America we desire. That's the America that the conservatives desire, the white conservatives desire for us to be in 2025. This is their mission. They are serious. They are intent on succeeding this time. This is Project 2025. This is not a joke. They will instill a theocratic dictatorship in which the United States will become a Christian nationalist regime, where Donald Trump or whoever the Republican president is, whoever wins in this wide range of presidential candidates right now, whether it's Nikki Haley or, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy, whoever gets the Republican presidential nomination in the summer, in this summer of 2024, whoever gets the nomination will become president in 2025. And this is what they are hoping to do. If you aren't loyal enough to the president, you as a long-term nonpartisan civil servant whose only goal is to advance the better interest of the nation will be replaced, fired, and replaced with sycophant conservative lunatics that are yes men. Hey, Jack, lick my feet. Yes, sir, what else can I do for you? I mean, they are not playing here. Project 2025 is an indefatigable drive, an indefatigable machine that is hell-bent on pushing the next GOP presidential candidate to the White House and successfully helping them carry out their term and stay there forever. It is not hyperbolic to say that the United States will become a dictatorship in 2025. It is not hyperbolic to say that the United States will become a dictatorship in 2025 when the leading Republican presidential candidate literally talked about he'll only be a dictator on day one. I don't think that's how the world works. Once you become a dictator, once you have a taste of that power, even for a day, you know, you're going to want to hang on to that forever. In the past, we have taken stuff like this lightly. We have taken stuff like this as a joke. But it is not. This is something that is serious. This is something that will happen if we do not act. Because the conservatives don't use the terms consolidation of power. They use more fancy terms like unitary executive theory. Even though that's what they're doing, they're not exactly going to say consolidation of power. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't get by that easily. So they use all these euphemisms to confuse us, which stifles and stonewalls us because many stop to actually educate themselves on what's going on. That's why it's important to watch your local news, read along to subsidized journalism, and choose different reliable, credible sources for your information and not just believe the post that you saw 5 seconds ago on social media. By educating yourselves and actually reading, you become intellectually equipped with how to handle a crisis of this magnitude. And that is the key to the sauce that they don't want you to know about. That's why staying dumb and docile and essentially useless and glued to your phone 24/7 instead of putting yourself in meaningful spaces and wanting to expand your knowledge beyond Facebook or Instagram is so beneficial to those destructive groups that seek to imprison us to this mindset. You see, by accepting the notion that there's nothing you can do and that we're all doomed is pre-submitting yourself to authoritarianism and fascism. This is how Timothy Snyder talks about that in his book. This is chapter 13 of his book, On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. Quote, practice corporeal politics. Power wants your body softening in your chair and your emotions dissipating on the screen. Get outside, put your body in unfamiliar places with unfamiliar people. Make friends and march with them. For resistance to succeed, two boundaries must be crossed. First, ideas about change must engage people of various backgrounds who do not agree about everything. Second, people must find themselves in places that they are not their homes, and among groups who were not previously their friends. End quote. He then goes on to give a historical example, basically talking about people, you know, on the right and on the left reuniting to essentially talk and to discuss these things. There is, in this dark, dark report of Project 2025, of what will be the conservative undoing of America, there is, and there does lie, at the end of this road, at least some small, tiny bit of hope. That is to organize. That is to join a group. Join a civic group that is interested in protecting our constitutional republic. You know, join a group like that. Make sure you are doing your due diligence when you're online in terms of getting information. Be responsible for the information that you yourself read and the information that you pass along to others. Be responsible for that transmission ecosystem. What you're feeding to others, you better make sure that information is actually credible. That information is actually legit. Double check, fact check your sources. Don't just believe the first thing that you see, especially if it's on social media. Don't believe the first thing you see if it's an article form that could not be, that could be a propaganda site, that could be a misinformation site designed as a legitimate news organization. The second thing you're going to want to do in terms of organizing and, you know, protesting and, you know, demanding change and marching is another thing you could also do would to be to vote and to make sure your friends have voted as well. And also to make sure others have voted in terms of like family members and things. By doing this, we can probably save what's left of our republic because it's pretty darn damaged. Especially me coming back on a day like today, January 6, 2024. On this day, literally 3 years ago, there was an insurrection against the United States government. An attempt to violently overtake the U.S. government by seek of force to install and to keep in office the guy who lost the election. This is Project 2025, the conservative undoing of American ideals, systems, and policies. They are not being hyperbolic about this, but the only thing that is concerning and that is horrifying, more horrifying than this report even, is that the majority of the population is still asleep. The majority of the population of the United States has entered 2024 thinking that this will be a great relaxing year, has entered 2024 with no worries. We are up against a major presidential election, even more important than 2024. We are up against a common enemy that literally has to collectively be defeated by all of us actually galvanizing and organizing together to stop that enemy by actually voting, by actually organizing politically and socially to inform others on the history of fascism in the United States, to inform others on Project 2025 and what we can collectively do about this to socially and politically make change happen. Therefore, so this does not happen. Because if a Republican does win the 2024 election next year, you bet Project 2025 will be handed to them just like it was handed to Reagan, and it will go into effect immediately. I'm Jeremiah Patterson, and this is the Jeremiah Patterson Show. This was our special report on Project 2025, the conservative undoing of America's republic.
Expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. And we will throw off the sick political class that hates our country.